Good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Warfield of the New Life Seventh-day Adventist Church at 1601 Green Street in Warner Robins. And there's a word that we want to share with you. If you have a Bible nearby, grab it and turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to try and pull some lessons, some ideas from this passage. There's never any way that you're going to get everything out of one passage, but we want to try in part to pull some lessons from this thing. So starting in verse 1 in your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 17 in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass thereafter a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." We're going to pause there before we go any further and deal with this idea just for a few moments. What happens in your experience when God will ask for a little bit, but it seems like asking a little is asking way too much? So let's bow our heads just for a moment. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness. We thank you for the word of God. We pray that these lessons would take their place in our hearts, that we would live them and apply them, that they would change our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is an awesome lesson to be found in 1 Kings chapter 17. We find here the prophet of God has given word that there is going to be a drought in the land. At the word of Elijah, there has been no rain, and there is no vegetation, there's no food, and God gives him orders to go next to the brook, and there he's going to provide food for him in a drought, in a famine. God is going to give him food and water by a brook that should be dried up. The profound lesson to be seen here is that God provides these things in some of the strangest ways. He is going to bring Elijah meat from a scavenger, a raven who would sooner eat you is going to bring you his meat. God decides that he is going to place meat in the hands of Elijah through the vessel of a scavenger. He provides water from a brook that should be dried up in the drought, and sooner or later that brook does dry up, and God has a different plan for Elijah. Now he finds himself in verse 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." Here is a strange idea. It is the prophet of God. It is the man that God has pulled aside to do his bidding, his ministry. First, you have seen the miraculous provision of God at the brook. You've seen a raven bring you meat, and you have received water from a brook that should be dried. But now God, in his infinite wisdom, has decided to dry up the brook. Now he is sending you to a place not only to be ministered unto, but to minister. And here we find Elijah. He gets word that he is to go to Zarephath, a small, miserable city. This is a strange thing for a man of God. He is called to go not only to a small, miserable city, but a small, Gentile, miserable city. It's not the people of God. There he's going to find not just a woman, but a widow woman. So all of these things are mounting up against Elijah. It is a test of my faith to believe that God is going to send me not to my own people, but to a Gentile city, and not a large city, not a city that's doing well, but a miserable city where everybody is on their last leg. And you are not going to send me to the king. You don't send me to the high magistrates. You don't send me to royalty or government. You send me to a small widow woman. Not only am I not supposed to speak to a woman in public, but you have sent me to a widow. That means that her husband is passed. She's got no way to sustain herself. She's got no money, no food, no nothing. She is on her last breath. And there he finds the woman. through the wisdom of God, he finds this woman picking up sticks, ready to bake her last piece of bread so that she can eat and die. And the word of Elijah goes to her, says, "I beg thee, fetch me a vessel that I may drink." And as she's going away, he says to her, "And I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." You are really pushing it. Not only are you asking me for water in a drought, I don't know you, this is a Gentile place and you're a man of God, but you are asking me for bread. I've got no bread left, and what I'm about to do is make my last meal so that we can eat and die. And you are asking me to give you food out of not my mouth, but my child's mouth. What happens when God requires something of you, and it seems like he is asking too much? Giving a little bit to you may seem like it is giving everything, but what you fail to understand is when you give your little bit to God, God is able to multiply the little so that it becomes much. So here is where the woman finds her faith. He has sent her there. She's preparing to eat and die, and we find that it's funny that when everything else is about to crumble, God has the ability to knock on the door of death and snatch away the keys and say, "This is not going to happen today." She has a son. The prophet is asking her to give food out of her son's mouth. So she gives up the certain. She gives up the certainty of having her last meal for the uncertain. She gives up the definite for what is only possible. And here's what we have to understand, this whole maybe possibility, that here is where faith is at work. Faith for you is the step between promise and assurance. Faith is the step between where you have received the promise of God and you haven't seen its fulfillment yet. Somewhere in between the promise and the assurance, there has to be some faith at work. So faith and obedience go hand in hand. God decides to provide for the Gentile. So now here's the word of the Lord. She gives up all that she has. She makes a little bit of food, and Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did as according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Here's the lesson that you begin to learn. Whatever God is asking you to give up is only a test of your ability to worship him fully. What's going to happen now is that when you give up everything to God, God begins to take care of you. In this passage, we find that a woman who doesn't know the true God is willing to take care of God's business first, before she takes care of her own business, before she takes care of the hunger of her own child. She is willing to provide for the man of God. So on the one hand, it shows that the drought had reached even the Gentiles. On the other hand, it shows that this Gentile woman had known, had heard something about the one and only true God. He finds a worshiper, not amongst his own people, but amongst people who don't even know who God is. Somehow along the line, this woman who's a widow has seen a true God provide for she and her son too many times before. So now she recognizes that when this prophet of God is asking for a piece of bread, the least I can do is provide for my Savior. In this passage, we find something profound. Whatever it is that we think we're facing, God is able to erase it as soon as we start taking care of his business first. She's the source of consolation for Elijah. When his faith trembles at the sight of his own people, their adultery, he finds that this woman is a source of consolation. If you still have your Bible open, turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 25. Luke chapter 4, verse 25. This is what the Bible says. It says, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto a Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Jesus says that there were plenty of widows among Elijah's own people. There were plenty of people that suffered, plenty of women that had no husband, but they did not respect their God, their one and only true Adonai, their master. So God decides to send the man of God to a woman who hasn't even met God before. And there he finds a true worshiper. When you can't even find people to worship God the way you think they ought to worship in your own family, God will send you to a strange place. God decides to send Elijah to a strange place. He sends her to him to strengthen her faith. Not only the relief of the physical need, but also the quieting of the spiritual need. There are many widows amongst the Israelites, but God chooses to use her. So here's what we learn today. Whatever it is that you need, God has the need taken care of. Abraham learned that God was the God of provision, the God who provides the need before you even need it. And in this passage, we see that if you take care of God's business first, God takes care of you. But it will not always be the way you think it ought to be done. Sometimes it's going to test your faith. You expect for God to show up in a miraculous way. You want him to send you a check when you need that bill paid, or you want him to send you some money. You want him to send you the finest groceries when your family needs food. Sometimes after you have seen the miraculous power of God by the brook, you have seen water in a drought and meat from a scavenger, you are still expecting the miraculous sign, but God decides to send you to a strange place. In the strange place, you'll find some consolation. You'll find that God still provides, even in the strangest manner. God still provides, even when it doesn't make sense to you. So in this passage, we see that not only is Elijah cared for, but the woman who hadn't known God is being cared for by that same God. This woman had worshiped him in ignorance, and now he is providing for her in public. What a marvelous God this is. She provides for the man of God, and the man of God provides for her. It says that the cruse of oil would not fail according to the word of the Lord. So for the rest of the 3 years, this woman went to the same vessel of oil, to the same jar of flour every day, and sustained Elijah and her house by the word of God. So what happens in your experience when asking a little seems like it's asking too much? Give your little bit to God. Begin to understand that the little bit that I have is a strange thing in the hands of the master. What I could do with a little, God can do miraculous things with that same amount. What I couldn't do with what I thought I didn't have, if I simply give what I do have to God, God will multiply what I've already got. Something you're going to understand is that God is doing a new thing with you. Ravens came yesterday, but today it's going to be a widow. Tomorrow it might be finding tax money from a fish. The day after that, it might be finding your sight in some mud. But whatever it is, God is going to provide. Learn whatever your problem is to take care of God's business first. Learn whatever the difficulty is to take care of God's business first. Because when you take care of God's business, God takes care of your business. What area of your life have you tried to make up the difference on? Have you tried to figure out a way to make this thing work on your own, and you still can't figure out how to make ends meet? Maybe it's because God is simply waiting for you to give your little bit to him. It seems like intelligence would laugh in the face of faith, but I would submit to you that faith doesn't always make sense. Faith is not always the intelligent, intellectual decision. Faith is that decision made because you believe in the promise. You believe in what you've heard, and you know that you're going to get it because you believe in the word of God. That means now that your faith is going to take over in your life. Begin now to submit not only your life, but your possessions, your family, your children, your money. Begin to submit it to God. And let him multiply it. Let him do his will with your life. God can never ask for too much. Not after all that he's done for us. Quite often the little bit that he's asking for is something that we could have done without. He just wants to see what you're willing to give up. Are you willing in your life to give up everything that you have for the master? Are you willing to give it up if it means taking money out of your own bank account? Are you willing to give it up if it means that your children may struggle just a little bit for the sake of God? Are you willing to give it up? I have never in my life seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Do you believe in the power of God? More than just word, but do you believe it in action? God sends a man to a strange place to find his provision. God sends a woman to a strange place to find the provision. Open your eyes to the strange places and watch as God provides. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you for all that you have provided. We see day in and day out, from the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, your mercy endureth forever. You have provided when we could not find provision. You have given comfort when we could not find peace. You have given victory where we could not find deliverance. You have been the one to free us and give us sight and give us mobility. God, whatever it is that you want from us, you can have it. God, there is some woman, some man today that is struggling. It might be financial. It might be socially. It might be spiritually. It might be physically. And it might be because they haven't totally submitted not only their checkbook. They may not have submitted their marriage to you. They may not have submitted their mind to you. They may not have submitted their spiritual life to you. Whatever it is, God, we're asking that you would teach us to submit, that you would teach us to give you everything that we have, that we would write the check to you first, that we would give our spouse to you first, that we would use our minds for you first, that we would dedicate our bodies to you first, and watch you as you bless our efforts. God, give us spiritual eye salve so that we can see you provide from the strange places. From the place that may not make sense, from the place that may be frowned upon by the rest of our peers, God, we're going to find you in some strange places today. But make sure that when we find you, we never let you go. Yes.